Good morning, everyone. Our first reading is from the Old Testament in the Psalms, Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Our sermon passage is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Thanks, Mel. Well, good morning again, everyone, and welcome, and especially if you're visiting or new this morning, very warm and extra special welcome to you. We've already said several times this week, we're looking at what the Bible says about prayer. We're going to spend some time looking at that crucial part of the Christian life this morning. This week, and then next week we'll get into our Christmas series, which will see us through to the end of the year. Now, in preparing for this, I've looked at Philip Jensen's books called Prayer and the Guidance of God, if you know that one, and Peter Adams' book, which is a new one called Prayerfulness. So I just mention those because they are excellent, excellent resources on what the Bible says about prayer, and I recommend them to you. I've got a copy here of each of them if you want to look at, have a look at them later on. Come and grab me. As I said, they're both excellent resources. Like we've been doing these last few weeks, we'll take a minute at the end of the talk and we'll write down our one thing from this morning. One thing that struck you or intrigued you. Just one thing that's come to mind. We'll do that at the end of the talk. I'll come back to that at the end. But let's pray as we make a start. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would please be at work in us now, that you would show us your truths, and that we would be changed by your work in us this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been keeping up with the news this week, you will have read, like I have, about the next round of negotiations that's going on to end the war in Ukraine. The US Secretary of State, Ukraine's top officials, they've been meeting in Geneva, and they've drafted a peace plan, and the US is in discussions with Russia about it. So that's all underway, and I'm sure to finalise all of that, at some point there's going to be discussions directly between the US, Russian and Ukrainian presidents. I'm sure that's going to be necessary, and I pray that would happen and that peace would prevail. Could you imagine that meeting between the three of those people? That meeting where they come together to try and hammer out the final deal? Could you imagine what the room would be like? And could you imagine that that was happening next Sunday in Geneva, Switzerland? And I said to you, well, I won't be here next Sunday because I'm heading over to that meeting. I'm heading over and I know that I'm going to be listened to. And then I said, well, I haven't made an appointment and they don't know that I'm coming. But I know when I get there, I'll just walk past security and all the soldiers and I'll just sail on through, no questions. And I'll walk into the meeting room and I'll smile and I'll say, I've got a couple of requests. It's ridiculous, right? If I said that, it would be ridiculous having access to some of the most powerful people on the planet like that. It's impossible. Or imagine just being able to pick up the phone, you know, and just being able to tell one of those presidents about your day or ask them for some advice. That sounds crazy, right? See, the only people who have that sort of access would be the president's close family. But you know, that's exactly the sort of access that we have with God through prayer. That's exactly the sort of access we have with him. And God, he doesn't just command a nation's armed forces, doesn't just control one country's economy, doesn't have a stockpile of weapons of mass destruction. Like, those things are way too far below him. Far more powerful than all of the human rulers put together. As it says in Hebrews, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. See, everything that exists is because of him, right? He created it all. And the holding together and the sustaining of our world, that is something that he does. He could bring our world to an end in an instant if he wanted to. And even though the world shakes its fist at him, he continues to pour out his grace, calling people to turn back to him. That's who we have access to through faith in Jesus. We have access to him through faith in Jesus. It's through faith in Jesus that it's all possible. You know, if sin stands between God and people, it stops any kind of relationship. There can't be a relationship where there's sin in the middle. Sin's ignoring God and his right ways for our life, and it deeply wrongs him. But Jesus experienced the judgment for sin that we deserve in our place. So through faith, sin no longer stands between us and God. We're made family. We're made family, and through Jesus, the prayers of God's people are heard. As it says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, he is the one mediator between God and mankind. He is our mediator, with the Holy Spirit interceding for us and within us. We get that from Romans chapter 8, verse 27. The Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So I wonder, in this, can you see how generously God gives? We have a mediator in heaven, the Son, to present our prayers to God. And we have one in our hearts, the Spirit, to pray on our behalf. We can be sure, can't we, that God certainly does hear us. Like, none of us would have the ear of a president, but we have direct access to someone infinitely greater than that. And he loves to hear us speak to him in prayer. So having said all of that, why don't we pray? Or at least, why don't we pray more regularly? I mean, I don't know about you, but at times I can find it hard to pray. I can find it hard to pray. And it sounds weird, really, doesn't it? I mean, I bet if I had a phone number for Anthony Albanese and I knew he'd pick up and listen, I'd be calling to speak to him all the time. So why is speaking to God often hard for us to do? Well, the short and easy answer is sin, and you won't be surprised to hear me say that. Through faith, we're forgiven our sin. We have access to God, as I said, but in our hard-heartedness, we can still struggle to pray. And that sin, it might show itself through our prayerfulness in different ways. So I don't want to just offer a few suggestions about what that might look like. It might be that our view of God is just wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, if our view of God is too small, it might mean that deep down we actually doubt he really can do stuff. And you might examine your own view of God by thinking about what you usually pray for. That can tell you something about how you see God. God loves to hear all our prayers, that's for sure. But do you ever pray big prayers? Because you know that we have a really big God. You know, he's the creator of heaven and earth. He gives and sustains life. Nothing is beyond him. Do we believe that? And do we pray big prayers, truly believing he can do it? He does love to hear all our prayers, and we should pray about anything, small or otherwise, but do we ask him to end wars, to bring revival with thousands coming to faith, to heal from disease, to change laws? Do we ask him for big things like that, believing that he can and he'll do it? See, God is big, and our prayers should reflect it. Or it might be that in our hearts, deep down, we don't really think he answers. It might be we've prayed that same prayer for years and it hasn't happened yet. Maybe deep down we think, if he's sovereign and all-powerful anyway, what difference does my solitary prayer really make? And Peter Adam, in his book, he makes the point, prayer is relational, not mechanical. And that's so true. He makes the point that prayer is relational and not mechanical. We must be careful that we don't approach prayer thinking God is, you know, like some sort of cosmic vending machine, you know, just sort of there to churn out whatever it is I want. And maybe then doubting, because the vending machine hasn't delivered what I prayed for. God does hear. The Bible tells us that. And he does answer. But sometimes the answer will be something different to what I prayed for. And sometimes the answer will be no. I mean, Jesus prayed to the Father before he went to the cross 3 times, asking him for any other way. The Apostle Paul prayed for the thorn in his side to be taken away, whatever that thorn was. He said in 2 Corinthians 12, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. See, in both cases, Paul and Jesus, the answer was no. And each of them willingly obeyed, knowing that God's good will was what's best. That's the view that we need to have of God, the one who sustains all things by his powerful word, who we trust to bring all things to his right end. And we might not always realize it, but he does work through our prayers. We mustn't doubt that. If you read at the end of Job in the Old Testament, right at the end, chapter 42, God's angry with Job's friends because they've misrepresented God. And he tells them to make a sacrificial offering and that Job would pray for them. And he'd accept Job's prayer and forgive them. See, God does hear. And he does work through our prayers, bringing everything to its right end for the good of those who love him, as it says in Romans 8. Even if we don't understand it or can't see it. God is God and we are not. And so do our prayers reflect that? It might be that our prayerlessness might show itself in ways to do with us. It might be that we're willingly sinning and aren't repentant. You know, disobeying God, turning away from him instead of turning away from sin and turning to him with a repentant heart. Be forgiven for sin because, as I said before, sin stands between us and God. So if prayer's hard, is there unrepentant sin that we need to give over to him? Or it might be that we're fixated on doing things in our own strength and not dependent on his. You know, if you're an outcome sort of focused person about achieving the goal, it could be that deep down we think any outcome is really going to be achieved by us. Not really believing that he sustains all things by his powerful word. I reckon this is a good question. Do we believe that nothing at all happens without him? Because if we do, we'll always start in prayer. And we'll turn in thankfulness to him in prayer as well. It could be that feelings are getting in the way. And feelings are important, but they don't describe the quality of the relationship that we have with God. We have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. That's a fact. So how I feel about that in any given moment, joyful, flat, encouraged, discouraged. See, those feelings don't change the relationship that I have through faith. But it is possible to allow our feelings to affect our prayerfulness. Feeling disconnected from God might lead us to disconnect from God in prayer, when the reality is that connection has never changed. You know, sometimes you've got to lead with your head. Lead with what you know and wait for your heart to catch up. There's lots of things that might affect our prayerfulness. Yet I reckon we all know that we should pray. We all know that. So let's turn our attention now and think for a bit about why we should pray. Why should we pray? Well, we've talked about some of the reasons already, the privilege of access to the God of the universe. Our mediator, the Son, presenting our prayers to God, the Spirit in our hearts, praying on our behalf. And that's enough reason, really, isn't it? We pray because we're able to. But there are other important reasons. God is the one who forgives our sin through a repentant faith. But we still sin each and every day. So we really do need to be in prayer regularly, acknowledging our sin, repenting and thanking him. You know, how else do we express our repentant heart if it isn't in conversation with the one that we've wronged? In prayer to God. Living out our gratitude for the forgiveness that we know we have in the Lord Jesus. I reckon it's worth asking, when was the last time we prayed to God and named our sin one by one and expressed repentance? When was the last time that we did that? And we pray because the God of the universe hears our prayers. As I said before, he might not answer with what we think he should. He might not answer in the time that we'd like him to, but he hears. And he does respond. I knew of a lady who was quite elderly, became a believer only a few days before she died. And could you imagine her family who must have been praying for her? For decades, I reckon, praying for this lady, praying that God would save her. And I'm sure praying for healing for her as well. He heard those prayers. And in his right timing, he answered them. Now she's with him, saved and healed eternally. See, I reckon for us, sometimes it might seem like God is slow, but he's never late. It might seem like God is slow, but God is never late. And prayer, you know, is good for us. It's good for us. Have a look at Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you think that's remarkable, that collection of verses? Come before the Lord in prayer and his peace will guard our hearts and minds. It will guard our whole selves in Christ Jesus. See, prayer is an expression of trust and it leads to peace. And God's peace guards our thoughts, our feelings, our will in Christ Jesus. The most precious thing we have actually, our faith, it's protected through prayer. We have every reason to pray, don't we? We have every reason to pray. So how should we pray? Well, as we heard in our all ages spot, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches his disciples what's become known as the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus teaches this not as what to pray, but how to pray. Don't feel constrained by this, but it is a good framework for prayer. It's a good framework for us to help think about our prayers. Now, we only read a small part of Matthew chapter 6, but where it's situated, this Lord's Prayer in chapter 6, it's in the middle of Jesus' teaching about the dangers of hypocrisy. Jesus has been talking about the religious leaders being all showy as they give to the poor, really obvious as they pray on the street. He's making this point in this chapter, right, that they're not humble. The religious leaders, they're full of their own self-importance. They love the praise of people much more than they love God. And then there's this Lord's Prayer situated in the middle. When it comes to prayer, we must be humble, is the point. It's the God of the universe that we're talking to. It's the creature speaking to the Creator. So we come before the Holy God, humbled and expressing our thankfulness for his graciousness to us, knowing he is God and we are not. First line of the prayer is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So the prayer is being addressed to the Father. It's not wrong to pray to Jesus or to pray to the Spirit, but the vast majority of prayers in the New Testament are addressed to the Father. It's because we pray to the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. So we address our prayers to the Father. And to be hallowed means to make holy, means to treat as holy and reverent. So Father, make your name reverent and special. That's what's being prayed here. And he does that by showing the world who he is, demonstrating his character, you know, his great love and his justice and his mercy. So, Father, make your name holy. May you make your character known throughout the world that all people would know your love and mercy for them. That's what's being prayed there. Then Jesus teaches, your kingdom come. God's kingdom, it's associated, closely associated with the spread of the gospel, isn't it? And the king of God's kingdom, Jesus. So, Father, please send the gospel across your world. Bring many to repentance and faith and come, Lord Jesus, come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is expressed through Jesus. So may God's will in the saving work of Jesus be done. Peter Adam makes the point in his book. He says this first section, it's all connected. God is to be made known. God is to be made known, and the kingdom coming and his will being done explains how that will happen. And it's in the first section of the prayer. God's plan and his priorities are first. God's plan and his priorities are first because they should be our first priorities. And so that's how we are to pray for them. Next, Jesus teaches, give us today our daily bread. Maybe hard for us in Australia. Most Aussies don't live day to day wondering where our next meal might come from, but we should pray it. We should pray it because God sustains all things by his powerful word. Everything we have, every breath we take actually is a gift from God. We must acknowledge that. Then forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins. It's more than just the sins that we commit. It's also the sin that comes from the things that we should have done. The sin of not loving God and our neighbour the way that we're called to. So we bring our sins to him in prayer, asking for his forgiveness, which we know he gives through faith in Jesus. Next, it says, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now this is hard. This is hard for us. As we pray for his forgiveness to us, it's good to remember that we owe God a debt far greater than anyone owes us. If God can forgive us, then we must find it in our hearts to forgive others. Now there's a lot that we could say here, but please know that forgiveness for someone who has wronged you is a journey, and it takes time. And please know that forgiveness for great wrong doesn't mean not expecting justice. And know also that in some cases, reconciliation may not be possible. But forgiving them in your heart is. And if you pray for it, if you ask God to help you with it, he will. And in time, you'll be able to find forgiveness for them, just as your God has forgiven you. Finally, Jesus says in this prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. See, this is praying that we wouldn't be tempted beyond what we can endure. We can't do this life for God in our own strength. So we pray that God would help us in our temptation, knowing that there is a spiritual battle. Satan is real. He is set against God. And he will do whatever he can to disrupt our walk with Jesus. So we pray that God will help us with that. Finally, it's right to pray in Jesus' name. John 14, verse 13, Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's right for us to finish praying by saying, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So after all, it's Jesus who is our great mediator. So it's right to finish by saying, in Jesus' name we pray. We meet monthly to pray together for our church and our city and our world. And the next one, the last one for this year, is 8:15 on Sunday, the 21st of September, of December. 21st of December. I'd love to invite you all to come and be part of the privilege of praying together. The privilege of praying together the way Jesus taught. Our next prayer meeting, Sunday the 21st, 8:15 a.m. We're going to pray together in a moment, but before we do that, let's just take a moment, as I said at the beginning, to write down our one thing. And we're doing that because having looked at God's word, we don't want to forget what we've just heard. We want to live it out. So let's take a moment and just think about one thing that struck you or moved you, one thing that you need to do. Grab your phones out or make a note on your outlines, but what is the one thing? And then I'll call us back together for the privilege that we have to pray. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we pray that your name would be made holy and known throughout the world, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we ask that you would give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus, through whom we are forgiven. And we pray that you would lead us not into temptation, but you would deliver us from the evil one. We ask you'd make us resilient and steadfast in faith always. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.